Hey, this is Missy Harper. You're listening to Life with Lisa Harper. On the podcast today, She Weets Truth.
Hey, y'all, I'm Lisa Harper, and you're listening to the Life with Lisa Harper podcast. We're calling season one Out of the Ashes because during each episode, we're walking through stories of redemption, essentially stories of people who have walked through tough stuff and found that God is perfectly good, even when life is really, really hard.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, y'all, some of you have Hall & Oates, some of you have salt and pepper, some of you have, just mac and cheese. I have Rachel and Amanda, my favorite redemptive duo, two dear friends and two miracles. They are the leaders of She Reads Truth, which may be my favorite ministry of the last decade. God has used them as a conduit to cause literally millions of people to open their Bibles and really see God bigger as a result of this love story called Scripture. And so I adore them. If you see me in shorts, their names are tattooed in really interesting places. But anyway, I'm so fired up to have Rachel Myers and Amanda Bible, yes, that is her real maiden name, Williams, on our podcast today. And I want to start, y'all, with a little bit of either or. You up for it? Because we're diving into deep. We're diving into Easter, but I want to start kind of light. Are you okay?
Listen, after that introduction, I feel like you can say whatever you want.
And that was not hyperbolic, y'all. They really are that good. They're golden. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of either or. And you both have to answer the either ors. Okay. So it can't just be one or the other. You have to pick both. Okay.
I can do this. I'm decisive. Okay. I can do this.
Okay. We're going to start high.
I'm a decisive person.
Okay. You're going to go fast. We're going to start high and we're going to go low. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Okay. Beach, mountains.
Beach.
Mountains.
Sweet, savory.
Savory.
Sweet.
Jazz, rock.
Really neither.
That is her
most
honest
answer. Oh, please
don't
tell me you're going to go hymns.
Oh, that would be such a,
I'm so sure we're going to go
there.
It's
really only anything written before.
What would it be? Jazz, blues, jazz?
You know, I'll take jazz. I like jazz. There is a playlist on Spotify called Jazz for Sleep, and it's great any time of day.
Are you a classical girl?
I mean, background music. I'm not really a music girl.
One time I walked in Rachel's office, I was like, why do I feel like I want to buy something right now? And she's like, this is the Restoration Hardware, playlist.
Oh, that's true. Hilarious.
You know, like the cafe, the gallery, and the mall.
Okay, mine's rock.
You're grieving me. Okay, right. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh,
if
a little bit spicy.
If you were forcing me to choose
she
a genre.
She is married to David Williams. Okay, it's got to be rock.
Okay, I gotcha. Guac, queso.
Guac.
Okay.
We are the exact opposite.
We're not trying to be contrarian here.
Night owl, early riser.
Oh, night owl.
Night owl, yay.
Hey, best friends.
Finally. Okay. ESV or CSB or New Living?
My beloved Bible is ESV.
Okay.
But we do almost all of our work out of CSB. I'm happy both ways. I like to not be too familiar.
Okay. Okay, I do too.
But I also like to be very familiar.
I mean, I'll have what she's having. It's basically the same answer.
Okay, yeah. Old Testament, New Testament.
Are we allowed to answer that question?
Yep.
Is it spiritual to answer that question?
You sure can.
What would you say, Lisa?
I'm not giving this. I am not the one in the hot seat here.
I don't know.
Just for today.
New Testament.
Okay.
I mean, for today, I think Old Testament, but it's because that's where we've been sitting.
I'm going to be like, well... Oh, see, I was going to do some sort of high and mighty, Jesus is in the New Testament, but he's in the Old Testament.
You can't go there. Y'all are giving two.
In the beginning was the word. Answers.
We're talking too much.
I know, you're talking too much. Okay. Okay. Hosea, Malachi.
Hosea.
That was way, way too easy.
Sorry, Malachi.
So here is the harder one. Board shorts or Speedos?
Board shorts.
Can you do jammers? Like in like a speedo tightness, but a length of a
jammers. Okay. I really wanted Ryan to answer the question. Okay, now we're gonna dive in. This theme that we've been doing for the last couple of months is called Out of the Ashes.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jesus as our Redeemer, but I wanted to save y'all for Easter week because y'all just reek redemption. Everything you're about is the restoration that Jesus brought into our world. And so again, I want to start kind of high. And I want to talk about maybe your favorite Easter memory as a kid, because y'all grew up in very different families of origins. And I want to talk about that memory. Could be good or hard, but that Easter memory that kind of stands out from, I'd say, toddler to 10.
I did have a complicated growing up. It was a complicated family situation. But we had an aunt and uncle who had a really stable family situation. Yeah. And we would go to their house for Easter every year with my mom. And so my Easter memories are all really good ones. We were good. Always in, and they would usually buy us Easter dresses. And so we'd get to match their daughter, and we would have gloves and hats and the ruffle socks. And we have so many horribly embarrassing photos of us lined up in all of the Easter frivolity. And we would sing those Easter hymns with the most gusto, not just at church that day, but with like
all day,
that whole weekend. We would just sing
one or two words for that childhood Easter experience. Would it be belonging and safe?
Maybe so. But you know what I loved about that most of all? That whole weekend, from anywhere in the house, if somebody said Christ is risen, somebody from the other side of the house would say, He is risen indeed.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
Okay, I love that. Call that's and response, cool. That's the only time of year that happened in our life or in our family.
We don't have enough call and response. I love that y'all do that with She Reads Truth.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite
I'm trying
things.
To teach the team a new one right now.
What is it?
On Mondays, we, read scripture together before staff meeting. And usually, we've gotten to a point where now, after we finish reading scripture, I say, do you believe this is true? And if they do, they respond, we do. And then,
or the Andrew Peterson version, we do.
We do. We do not sing it. But then usually I follow that with
now, this. Please tell me you don't have a staff person who says, we don't.
We don't. Nobody says we don't.
Immediate pink slip.
This is a problem. But then we have, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right.
And then on Monday I was like, okay, guys, the next one we're going to do is, if I just say the grass withers and the flowers fade, you say, but the word of the Lord remains forever.
Right.
And so those are like, we just toss it around. It's like a quiz show. Yeah. What call and response are we going to use this week?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, ABW, standout Easter memory.
Yeah, I have a really poor long-term memory. And so a lot of my standout memories are based off of photos. And like the photo will jar, memory.
Yeah.
And so when you say childhood Easter, I immediately think of a photo of me and my brother. He's 4 years older than me. And it's the way we're dressed. It's the like he's in his little, I'm probably 4. So that would make him 8. And he's in like a little gray tux with like a bow tie. And I'm in a really fluffy dress and
which
hat,
sounds so
gloves.
Much like you.
Well, here's the thing. We didn't have a lot of means, in this part of my childhood or any part of my childhood. And so it felt so tangibly special. Like, so Easter was like, It was an event. Mm-hmm. And so it was, we would go to church with my mom, and it's just, we went to a Methodist church at the time. And so we was in the pews singing the Easter hymns that you sing every single year, dressed in not just our Sunday best, but our Easter Sunday best,
right,
which like takes it up a little notch.
I love that you brought that up, because I think, the very first week I had Missy home from Haiti was Easter, which seems so fitting after this. I lost 2 adoptions before Missy, and then it was a 2-year, pretty tough process, not unlike you with Toby. And so to have her, I brought her home just a few days before Easter, and I remember I cried through the entire service.
Oh,
and
how
I
could
went
you not?
To sunrise service, and I went to regular service, and I just wept the whole time because of what he had redeemed in my family. But I didn't dress way up, because I kind of associate that with the religiosity of youth, with looking good, but not necessarily loving God. And yet I think sometimes I've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. together because when you said it was really special, there's something to be said for that. Have y'all brought that forward with your own family?
We have. We now with my sister's kids, you know, she has five, I have two, and everybody, all the boys match, all the girls match, and we make a big fuss of it. We get riddles to find your Easter basket.
Oh, wow.
I remember last year, I think Hazel's, the riddle said, at the Good Friday service, mom was a crier, your Easter basket is on top of the...
And oh, I like that.
So they have to go hunt down their Easter
baskets. I'm going to make you write mine for Missy. You're very creative.
But mom was a crier. They were like, well, that is true. Mom did cry a lot during the Good Friday service.
The riddles are also truthful.
Yeah. What have you brought forward?
Yeah, we don't do that. I generally think about what everyone's going to wear on Easter Sunday about 2 hours before we have to leave the house. So it's more, and I think it's because I'm afraid of like, well, I'm not a planner, A. And B, I'm afraid of pushing too hard for that reason that you're speaking. Like, I don't want, you know, and for my daughter, because she's 12 and she doesn't like to be told what to wear anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, you know what? It's fine. And she'll turn the table. She'll be like, Mom, it's church. It doesn't matter what I look like.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not really sure what to say to that.
Because I pulled that one out in about high school. You know, men looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to wear tights anymore.
Yeah.
So I started pulling that one out. I read something. I've been studying the Gospel of Mark for this Lent season because I love Mark's Gospel because it's just the down and dirty of Jesus. It kind of goes straight there. I think it matches up with the Passion Week so well. And then it kind of sets in the Passion Week. I know y'all have She Reads Truth because I read through your reading plan for the Lent season. It's amazing. But is there one place in Scripture that kind of does it for you, the way the memory of y'all wearing matching outfits and the things that you go, that was Easter to me. Is there a place in Holy Writ that you go, that's where I camp out in Easter? That's where I feel like I marinate in Easter.
I do. For me, it's Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and it's Jesus saying her name. I mean, every single time,
Mary.
Yes, that's it. And it's Rachel and I had the privilege of being in Israel together a few years ago, and we went to the Garden Tomb.
Yeah,
and that's all I wanted they were like, we should read Scripture. We're here. Like, we're in this place. We might not be the place, but it's a place that's like the place.
And, close to the place.
Right. And so I went straight there to John 20. And I can't read that story without weeping most times. Mm-hmm. And I was a wreck reading it, standing there in front of the Garden Tomb. But that's it for me. It's that, it's that moment. It's her earnestness and her desperation to know where he is and what's happened. Yeah. And then it's like the tenderness with just the saying the name and saying it twice.
And the fact that she was the one with seven demons, one of the few demoniacs whose number was named and the number meant completion. So she was probably completely oppressed. And then 3 years later, what is arguably the most significant job in human history at a time when women weren't allowed to give witness in court because it was considered a histrionic, you know, witness that wasn't credible. And God in his sovereign mercy says, I choose her, this woman nobody else would choose. And she gets to be the first witness to the risen Christ. That, going from last to first, that part of Easter, just the tenderness of God and Mary being there for that first Easter morning slays me.
Yeah. And then it was intentional. This is not happenstance.
That's right.
This is the way he wrote the story.
That's right.
Yeah.
He always writes it better than we could even imagine.
I know. It's frustrating sometimes, but also wonderful.
So wonderful. So wonderful. Sometimes after the fact. Okay, Rach, what's your kind of Easter marinating passage?
You know, I said that, you know, I was picking New Testament for my either
or. But you've gone old, haven't you?
Well, when I was a kid, I went to a little Christian school, and so we memorized a lot of Scripture. And I think over the course of a couple months, we memorized Isaiah 53. And really, I think that's the time, because it's that leading up to Easter Sunday where you, in your head, even just like reciting that over and over, especially on Good Friday, and just like he was, He was despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows. Mm-hmm. And even just like, surely he has borne our griefs, which is not just an Easter thing, my goodness.
Right.
You know, but like, but by his stripes we are healed. That beautiful messianic prophecy from Isaiah, mm-hmm. that's where I go leading up to, and especially on Good Friday.
Right.
So maybe I am an Old Testament girl today.
Oh, well, that was an unfair question because I'm both too, and I can't separate them.
Yeah.
Because to me, I can't even understand the New Testament without the Old Testament, but then I love the, you know, I love the Jesus. He's in both, but
you know what,
I love literal Jesus.
And I don't know. I don't know if this was true for you guys, but we grew up in the Midwest, and of like my first 12 years of my life, I think it rained every Good Friday.
Mm.
And so to me, it was just like, well, obviously it'll rain on Friday. Like
it was,
I'm sure probably coincidental, but it was like clockwork for us.
That, like the weather crying.
That the earth was weeping.
Yeah.
And that it was a cloudy day and that it was dark, and almost always Easter is sunny.
Yeah.
And I know that that's not true in all parts of the world or all parts of the country. But for me, there was a real physical tie.
Yeah.
To the weather.
You know, I didn't start observing Maundy Thursday until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And there was something about the sobriety of that service, because I think we're too quick to get him out of the tomb.
Yeah.
To actually contemplate what y'all are doing with She Reads Truth with Lent.
Mm-hmm.
To actually kind of sit in what he went through, which leads me to the next thing I want to get your response to. I read a story recently that N.T. Wright wrote. It's not his story. But he wrote a true story about an archbishop, and this archbishop told this story in a homily, and he said that there were three little boys who were extremely rambunctious and rebellious, and they thought it would be funny to confess to the priest where they worshipped the worst things they could imagine, not things they had actually done, because these were 8-9-year-old little boys, but just these horrible, heinous acts. They thought it'd be such a hoot to confess that and see how the priest responded. And he said, finally, the priest with the third little boy said, I'm going to give you penance, and here's your penance. I want you to leave the sanctuary, and I want you to come back in, and I want you to go to the cross at the front of the sanctuary, and I want you to look up at Jesus on the cross, and I want you to say, I am so sorry my sin put you there, and I have not been respectful. And then I want you to leave the sanctuary, and I want you to wait 10 minutes, then I want you to turn around, I want you to come back, and I want you to do the same thing. And as this archbishop told the story, he said the third time in, this 9-year-old little boy approached the cross and couldn't speak because he began to weep. And he said, I know exactly how he wept because I was that little boy. And he talked about as a 9-year-old little boy, that's what kind of changed the trajectory of his life and caused him to go toward vocational ministry, was actually sitting in the fact that Jesus hung on that tree for him.
Mm-hmm.
When is a moment recently in your life where you contemplated not the victory of Easter, but the sorrow of Good Friday?
I always feel like my my Christian testimony is not worth telling. That it's a disappointing story.
Because you were a good girl.
I was a great girl.
Yeah.
I really was. I didn't do any...
Except for those hoop earrings.
I mean, watch out.
For those of you who have not listened to Rachel much, she talks about, will you tell the story about your hoop earrings?
Was my grandma warned me, using the word Jezebel, that hoop earrings specifically were the devil's stirrups, and he would ride you straight to hell.
Yeah.
So be careful of those hoop earrings.
Right. So other than the hoop earrings,
but you're Lisa, a great kid. I grew up in a really legalistic church and family, and you hear that when I talk about the hoop earrings, right?
Sure.
And so, I don't have any, like, here's the Lord saved me from the depths of woe, except he did.
Mm-hmm.
He saved me the way that he saved me. And honestly, I'm sure your listeners, there are men and women listening who can relate to this.
Sure.
He saved me from my self-righteousness, which is a really hard thing to be saved from because it's harder to see.
Yeah.
I think it's really easy to see when you have a named sin that's like listed in the Ten Commandments explicitly. But when you take even those first two commandments, you know, and when it's, you know, when I'm making idols of my good living or whatever it is, or my lack of need for saving, I walked a lot of years in self-righteousness as a Pharisee. Like I told you just now, like we memorized a chapter from the Bible about every month.
Isaiah 53, you memorized as a kid.
As a kid. right?
Yeah, it's a lot.
And that's why I need Jesus. Like, I need Jesus because I am Paul. Before he was Paul, I'm Saul, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm the one standing pharisaically and saying, you know, well, I haven't, you know, I've kept the law. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm here to condemn those who haven't. Mm-hmm. And that's not Jesus.
Yeah.
And that means like more than anybody, I need Jesus. I need yeah. Jesus to take my face in his yeah. hands and turn it
yeah.
to him and to him on the cross.
That's right.
And remind me that my salvation does not right. come from works, but I'm saved by grace.
I love it that he says only those who recognize they're sick mm-hmm. will lean toward the physician.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's my Easter story, Lisa.
What about you, Meredith? That's your Easter life.
That's my Easter life. Yeah.
And we need to stay there.
Yeah.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, when I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Amanda, when did you realize the cross was for you? That it was personal. It wasn't just a corporate symbol, but you needed yeah. the cross.
Yeah. I'm going to try to tell this story without crying because it involves my mom. So, I mean, for me, like, I resonate so deeply. Like, we're so different, but we're also not so different, mm-hmm. Rachel and I. But so similar, like, I feel like age... you know, age-wise, kind of similar, like young, like probably I was probably a teenager mm-hmm. going into college. And my story is different. It's the same in that I was a good girl, mm-hmm. did, you know, good grades in the clubs, doing all the things, youth group, youth choir,
yeah, mission trips. Kind of clubs.
Yeah, all of those things. But I was secretly not a good girl. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was the person who knew that. Mm. And she knew the depths of
that. Our moms were
that.
Texting each other. My mom did too.
And so my mom's long suffering with me and the way that the woman has guilted me maybe like 3 times in her whole life. So I mean like almost never, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is not her MO. That's not the way she operates. And even then she didn't, but she had a way of loving me that just showed me Christ all the time. And so for me, I think finally like seeing that and seeing her like accepting her love and then in turn being able to accept the love of Jesus and go like, gosh, if my mom loves me like this, then how much more does the Father and does Jesus love me as my Savior? And so finally just that, like, man, facades are hard to shake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I carried that one a really long time, and I carried it past my Easter moment, mm-hmm. you know, like I mm-hmm. had a pack on my back that I just carried straight through college.
Yeah, me too.
And really probably like when I came to Nashville, really marks a time where I think I started to embrace that fully. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't think of my story in understanding the cross without thinking of her part
yeah.
in it.
I love that you say this part of my story because I think we don't do this anymore. At least I don't know any communities who do. But when I was growing up, we used to do something called a progressive dinner.
Oh, yes.
And you went to different people's homes for different part of the meal. You yeah. started at somebody's homes with appetizers, and then you went on yeah. for entrees, you went on for dessert. Usually it was at least 3 homes. And I think Easter is a progressive understanding.
Absolutely.
And think you may celebrate the spiritual reality of Easter. You know, you celebrate that when you're saved. But the longer you walk with Jesus, the more Good Friday becomes an integral part of your Easter, because I don't think we can celebrate fully without remembering that we hung him on the tree.
Yeah.
And you start getting that and you go, my goodness, that's where redemption is richer. It's deeper. It's I'm so stinking grateful, because to me, Easter without gratitude, it's Christmas without Jesus' birth. It's like you can't have it without us just being absolutely undone the way Mary was.
Amanda, I haven't heard you tell that story that way before, but when you have talked in the past to me about your relationship with your mom and the way that she loved you like Jesus, I want you to tell Lisa what she said to you.
Please.
Oh, she didn't say it. She wrote it. I was going somewhere I shouldn't go, and she knew it, and she had told me not to, and I told her I wasn't, and then I went anyway, and she knew I was going anyway. You know, this whole thing that you, when you're a teenager and you're a jerk sometimes to your parents. And she always worked, like, she was a teacher, and she always stayed after school to help students, and so we always got home first. But in the morning before she left, she would leave instructions for dinner, and so we would come home and she would be like, the cornbread's ready to mix or whatever, and put this in the stove or whatever. And so we always had notes on our counter in the kitchen. And so this particular time when I came home and no one was there, she wasn't there, but she was there because she left a note on the kitchen counter that just said, remember whose you are. And I mean, she might as well have just like gone with me,
right?
Because it was so profound, and I never ever forgot it. I had a like a True Love Waits ish ring, like, you know, like it was more than that to me. It was my sort of like, it was a ring that tethered me to the Lord in my mind, you know.
Right.
And I had already had it, but I took it after that and had that line engraved on the inside of it, because I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Like, I want to walk with the Lord. But yeah, it's so powerful to me, because like, my mom is not my savior, but it is powerful to me to think of the impact that we can have on others by loving them like Jesus.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't, you know, we were talking about parenting earlier and how it's hard, but like, you know, some of
it's refining,
some of it's pretty simple, you know, like it really is just loving.
Yeah. Loving hard, even when it is hard. Yeah. I want to close on you saying, remember whose we are, because to me that could be, that could just be the tagline of Easter. And it reminded me of something I wanted to get y'all's reaction or response to. Y'all know I love N.T. Wright. He's one of my favorite living theologians. I've got a platonic crush on him. And I read this week, and he's got a great book called Lenten for Everybody. So it's just those of you who haven't practiced Lent, because you don't come from a Catholic or ecclesiastical background, but to actually kind of marinate in Easter before Easter happens. He wrote this. He said, it isn't just here is a truth about something that happens as a result of which there's good news and we can go to heaven. Easter is something that happened by 6 o'clock on that first Good Friday, as a result of which the world is in a different place. The grip of the powers has been broken, and the name of that new world is forgiveness. That's who we are. We're forgiven. A woman I used to read when I was younger, Barbara Johnson, says we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. So how do you stay in the cognizance that we needed Jesus to go to the cross because we're sinners? Even good girls are sinners in need of a healer, a savior, a redeemer. How do you stay in the cognizance that apart from Jesus, there's nothing good in me? And in the celebratory posture of, I am forgiven. Because in my opinion, just as we shouldn't celebrate Christmas one day a year as Christ followers, we also shouldn't celebrate Easter one day a year. We should live in the reality of Easter. So how do you keep your heart in that place? How are you an Easter woman every single day?
And I think I know the answer for both of us. Yeah. We open our Bibles.
We open our Bibles.
Right. And we don't open them
because... That's what I was hoping you would say.
I mean...
we don't open them because we feel like it every day.
Sometimes we do. I mean, a lot of times we do. Yeah.
But we open it because we believe that what's inside is true.
And is life.
Yeah.
Is life.
And so just like, you know, Easter doesn't... It doesn't just change a fact about our lives. Like, it changes our lives. Changes everything.
Right.
In our lives. But I can't articulate much of that to you on any given day, or reconcile that with what I see around me all the time. So we just have to go to the source, and we have to, and honestly, like, something that's challenging to me, right now in this season is to also just turn to the Lord in prayer the way that I've learned to turn to my Bible. Because, you know, just the girl who reads truth every day doesn't necessarily have it all, you know, all the spiritual disciplines figured out. But because it's like, I also need to turn, you know, to the Spirit and just say, like, you know,
just being constant communication.
Yeah.
It's why one of the reasons I was so, it's really easy to brag on y'all. Y'all are easy to love, easy to respect. But the fact that you've poured your lives and really sacrificed a lot to go, we want to be a conduit to other people connecting with the love of God through His Word. All too often, especially in evangelical circles, the Bible is seen as a rule book, as a collection of benign morality tales. We forget it's a love story. And to be tethered to this love story is how I think we keep our hearts in the posture of Easter. Mm-hmm. Because over and over and over again, from beginning to end, it says, you are forgiven, your love. This perfect, glorious God condescended to earth in a suit of skin to say, you're worth it to me. We are Easter people.
Scripture is not just a place where we like aim for hope and get there finally and then go on out of it, but it is a place where we trip through hope and find it everywhere. And I think that that's my Easter thing. That's my Easter moment. That's my Easter life. Because, you know, Scripture tells us that we're not a people who grieve as though we have no hope.
Right.
But even more than that, and as well as that, we're also a people who do not live as those who have no hope.
That's good.
We're people who live with hope.
That's right. You trip over it. Yeah. One of my favorite professors said that, and I have never forgotten that analogy. I want to basically fall flat on my face by tripping over grace. Every time I want to be amazed by God, to just constantly kind of have my jaw dropped and, oh my goodness, He did that. I love y'all. Thank you for being with us. One last question.
Okay.
If you could say one thing, one word of redemptive advice, one sentence of redemptive advice to your 20-year-old self, what would it be?
I can give you a word, but I'd have to give you an explanation. But I can keep it to a word.
Do it.
The word is pursue. And I did a lot of pursuing. And I remember near the end of a season of a lot of pursuit of excellence, I realized that all that time the Lord was pursuing me. He's the pursuer.
So you learned to be pursued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think mine's, it's related but different, as is so many things with us. The word's covenant. And I think that at the, you know, the explanation is very much like what my mom said to me, you know, like, remember whose you are. Like, you belong to Him. He belongs to you. Like, this is not, this is not a temporary relationship. You know, this is a forever covenant. And so, yeah, stop trying to outrun it and just lean in, girl.
Yeah. These two women, Rachel Myers and Amanda Bible Williams, are to God's word what chips are to queso. They will help you hang on to it. And so give us quickly how people can connect with She Reads Truth, one of the most amazing connecting you to God ministries that I am aware of.
Get out your phones, which you may already have in your hands if you're listening to this podcast, and download the She Reads Truth app, or go to shereadstruth.com, or come find one of our beautiful study books where we just pour scripture into them, and then you get to read the scripture.
And you will find a huge sorority of women who don't have it all together, but who love Jesus and cheer for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Life with Lisa Harper podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, and I sure hope you did, I would really appreciate it if you subscribed and gave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The introduction music was provided by my almost little brother, Tim Halperin, who also co-produces this podcast with me. Life with Lisa Harper will be releasing episodes on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. We sure hope you'll keep listening.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.